Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Hey, it's Saturday. Hey, BE community, how y'all doing?
Yes.
Good one. Yes, y'all. As you can see, we have a very special guest with us. So I will go ahead and officially introduce our guest for today, the amazing Shamika Owens. So Pastor Shamika Owens graduated from Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she received her bachelor's degree in business administration and her minor in church administration. This journey in life introduced her to the power of faith and inner workings, of the Holy Spirit. She's a woman who gets excited and lives for the moment when she can speak into the lives of other women, young and old. Amen. She's always felt the call of God on her life and has always had a heart for him and leans in purpose to speak to the women of Evolve Love and mentor young girls through Blossom University. I love those names. Pastor Shamika has been married to her husband, Pastor Michael Owens, for 22 years. Hey, they have been blessed to have 4 beautiful children and 4 wonderful grandchildren. Okay. They are the pastors of Evolve Life Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And together, they've always been in the business of changing people's lives, one family at a time. So yes, welcome Pastor Shamika Owens. Woo!
So glad. And it's actually, I'm actually going on 23 years in January. So
yeah.
Getting ready.
That's a huge milestone.
Yes, it is.
Congratulations.
So, I'm coming, long journey.
Yes. In double digits, I tell you, anybody that can make it that far, you're doing something. You're on the path, because nowadays, especially, it's rare. So amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about what had happened. Was so I will share, I was first, your name at least, became aware of your name during the event that Becoming Eva hosted. It was a live women's conference event that we hosted with City Takers and Track Stars called Faith and Flow. And so we were talking about panelists because we were planning to do a live panel discussion, and your name came up. They're like, Shamika gonna be in the building. I was like, okay, Shamika. All right. I don't know Shamika, but I'm excited for her. I'm excited. And so I hate that I didn't get to meet you that day, but I mean, literally your reputation precedes you. So I'm just glad we're able to have you on today.
That's a blessing. And I think I do remember now that it's coming to me. I remember that event, but at the very same time, we had a workshop, a girls workshop going on.
Okay. And,
I think that it was just a conflict of the time, but yes, I definitely would have been there. Love the women at City Takers. Love.
So we like to always kind of get to know our guests and a little bit about where they're from, a little bit about their family and what it was like growing up. So if you can share some of those things with Becoming Eva, Shamika, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes. So let's see. I am the oldest of 5. I'm the oldest daughter, oldest granddaughter, oldest niece. I came first. My mom had me when she was 14. And so we kind of grew up together, but I can remember that my mom, she was just very, very instrumental in introducing me to God, introducing me to church. She's very, very, you know, she seemed like she was a back then, of course, she was a older mom. She wasn't like, you know, having a teenage mentality. I didn't really get that from her. But I think because she was the oldest daughter, care of everybody, including her parents. So I think I just kind of got that part of her maturity. I can always say that my mom, she was just like always there for me. I grew up with my mom. She married. And so I was never able to have like a real relationship with my father. And so even though he lived in the same city.
Oh, wow.
Same city. I knew exactly where he lived, but he never really we never really connected, or I wasn't with him as much as I would like to be as a child. And so when she got married, my stepfather was in the military, and we moved away right away. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. And I just remember like leaving everybody and everything I've, you know, ever known, but trying to, you know, figure out like if I was gonna ever be able to see my dad again. Like that was a big, huge, you know, gap in my life. But being with my mom, I can remember just, you know, she would play the piano, and my mom was that type of mom. She did everything, you know, she cooked, she cleaned, she, you know, made sure everybody was on their P's and Q's, but she also loved us. And I could, you know, I could feel the love from her. And, but she instilled in me, like, you're the oldest, you take care of your brothers and your sisters, period. And that's just kind of how it was. I was the oldest. But I do, like, in high school, it was just like, I could not wait to leave home. Like, I just had that in my mind. Home wasn't, like, the best place for me. Mom and dad, because they were so young, they were at it all the time. Just constantly arguing, constantly fighting. It was a lot of turmoil. A lot of toxicity. But at the time I just knew that I wasn't comfortable there. I wasn't happy there. And so my mentality was, oh my God, I cannot wait till I turn 18. I know there's a lot of people that said that. I cannot wait till I'm 18, thinking that I was grown. Right?
Yep.
Could not wait to, you know, leave. Little did I know God had other plans. I ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, going to Oral Roberts University. Life-changing experience for me. I had no intention of going to RU.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up going with my youth group on a road trip. I love road trips.
Okay.
How do you want to go on a road trip? I'm okay. I wanted to go on a road trip, and there was this particular guy that I liked, and he was going on that road trip, and I thought, oh yeah, this will be a good for us to, you know, together. I have no intention of going to RU. I had already planned on going to the University of Cincinnati in Ohio. I was just going to be in Cincinnati. Anytime I want to come home, you know, visit my mom, I was close. But again, God had the plans. I ended up going to a college weekend at Oral Roberts University. They always have these big, huge college weekends. It's like one of their number one ways of recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
I got there and I didn't do anything. I didn't visit no classes. I did all the activities. I went to the cafeteria. I think we spent a few hours on the campus. Like, you know how they have a whole itinerary. It's like a whole schedule. You need to visit this class and this class and this class. I didn't do none of that. I ended up going to chapel one night. I went to chapel and I could feel the presence of God
in
the room. And I literally, I remember just getting on my whole face in that campus chapel. And I just remember saying, okay, God, if this is where you want me to go, this is where I'll go. This is where you want me to be. I will be like, wow. whole life change, whole trajectory change. Everything happened like there at that moment in chapel, because literally you could feel the presence of God. You could feel the spirit of God on that campus. So that's how I got there. You know, God knew my whole little plan, and then his own plan. Yes.
So growing up, you know, with a teenage mom and witnessing, like you said, like the struggles that she was going through, how did you really start developing that personal relationship with God? Or was it after that experience at that college chapel when you really started developing a personal relationship?
So I can honestly say that I remember vividly giving my heart to God. And again, I know my mom was very influential just because of this. I saw her live her life for God. I saw her going to church. I saw her praying. I saw her reading her Bible. But then I also saw her, you know, constantly in arguments and fighting, you know, with my dad. So I knew that she still had, there was a faith that she had. And I remember vividly at the age of 6, wild, but I was watching TBN. You guys remember Trinity Network?
Yep.
I was watching TBN by myself in my room. How that happened. I don't know what 6-year-old does that, but I was doing that. I was watching TBN, and I remember Jan Crouch. She came onto the TV. Wow. She was like, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you so much, and he just wants you to give your life to him. And I was like, okay. So I walked away from the TV, and I went to go get my mom. Mom, I said, can you pray for me so that Jesus can come in my heart? And she just looked at me. She was like, girl, you can do that on your own. Go ahead and do that on your own. Like, she just kind of like, I don't know if she was expecting that for me, but she was like, girl, go ahead and you can do that on your own. So then I went back to the TV and was following Jan Crouch as she was praying the prayer of salvation on TV as a 6-year-old. And from there, I just had this knowing of God, that I was in relationship with him. I was reading my Bible. I can remember going to school, praying for people, you know, inviting them to church. You know, impressing upon them that they better, you know, live a good life so that God can be proud and happy with them. Like, I remember these things, and it went with me through high school, through middle school, through high school. It was like, I still had this sense of knowing God, even though I was still searching for the love of a father, even though I was still searching for, kind of like that peace of that security in a home where you knew you had two immature people who just didn't really know quite how to love each other and demonstrate that love, you know, before their children. I still had this sense of knowing that, like, you know, God loves me.
Amen.
And I wanted to I just wanted him to be proud of me. And I wanted love me, and I wanted to show other people like that he loved me. I can remember being in high school, and several of my friends, they knew that they could come to me for prayer. They knew that they could talk to me about, you know, just some of the issues that they were having, and that I would like you know, pray for them. Like, I have always had a love for God. Like, I can't even explain it all the way. I just knew that when I was in that room, he captured my heart.
Amen. That's beautiful. 6 years old.
Six years old.
And to maintain it, that's awesome.
Yes. And I think it just goes to show again that, you know, parents have an influence. You know, parents demonstrate. They are the ones who demonstrate the love for God, or the connection with God, or the reverence for God. I've always, you know, seen that demonstrated from my mom.
Yeah. You touched on a couple times just the whole father dynamic, the fact that you at one point, at least early on, you and your biological father lived in the same town. You knew where he lived, but had no relationship with him. And then, of course, your mother remarries, you move away. So you have a stepfather, but there was still that longing. There was still that desire. So I'm curious to know, like, how that evolved over the years. You know, your relationship with your father, did it evolve? Your relationship with your stepfather? And then ultimately, how did that influence your relationship with men in general?
I think at the time, I had to definitely, you know, develop an even like a deeper walk with God, because I said, okay, even though I don't have my earthly father in my life, and then I'm not, my relationship with my stepfather is rocky. Like, I had to start seeing God as my father, and realizing that, you know, he's going to take care of me. He's going to give me everything I need. He's going to, you know, fill my life up just like, you know, a regular father would. He began to give me kind of almost like a love for both of my fathers.
Amen.
I started being able to walk in a forgiveness for them. Mm. Like, there were so many times that I resented not having them in my life, or not really having a male figure that I can, you know, it's good that I can pray to God, but Lord, I want somebody to, you know, I want somebody to hug. I want somebody to give me a hug every now and then. I want somebody to, you know, spoil me a little bit, or, you know, that father-daughter relationship. I don't think I've really ever had that, you know, in my life. And so I had to really lean into my relationship with God and recognize him as my father, as my all in all, as my need. Because it's like, every time I would put my expectations on this person, it was like it would fail. And so I just, as the years went by, I think I grew into maturity of having a forgiveness. Like, okay, I will be patient. I will be patient and wait, you know. I feel like it definitely kind of affected my adulthood, just kind of the way that I viewed. I didn't really like trust a lot of men, because I felt like, you know, they're in and out, you know, they're not really dependable, you know, so I really didn't have like not that I didn't want a man in my life, but I was just like, you know, that's just kind of reality I had. But I think even God healed that the closer that I got to him. And even when I got into college, you know, just trying to really just teaching me to have a mindset of forgiveness and mindset of giving grace. My dad actually ended up, my real dad showed up at my graduation when I was old, and I had no idea that he was even going to be there. I didn't know how he even knew that I was graduating. He showed up. But later I found out that one of my cousins saw him and told him and gave him the invitation to my graduation. So that was a whole healing moment there, because literally I hadn't really been in relationship with him from the age of 6 to 18. There's a huge, you know, it was a huge gap for us. So even now in my adulthood, I see that we're still kind of building onto like I would say definitely it's not where it used to be. But I'm so thankful now that I can say I have two dads that I can celebrate.
Yay.
So
I can definitely relate to that so much. I grew up with my stepdad, and my biological father was not in my life. He went to my brother's high school graduation, but he did not go to mine. And we were like 1 year apart from each other. So I remember seeing him once when I was maybe 7 years old, and then maybe the second time I saw him was at my brother's graduation, and then my third time was when I moved here to Atlanta for college. Him and his new wife lived in Lithonia, and so it was almost like, okay, I'm in the same... I'm basically in the same city. And so it has been a work in progress as far as building that relationship. That's still something that I know I've struggled with over the years. It's I think for forgiveness and healing, you can say like you forgive someone, with your words, but I think for me, it's a process. And I feel like I'm like always having to keep asking God, like, to take that unforgiveness out of my heart. But that's awesome though, that you were able to really recognize that as a kid and to really see God as your father. Because some people have fathers in their lives, and sometimes they're not like mentally present, even though they're physically present. So that is very challenging. So with all of you know, those issues with your growing up with those daddy issues, and how did you meet your now your husband? Because I felt like for me, it was a bit of a challenge to really find, because I had issues with like men. I would be attracted to men, but I definitely still had, I guess, daddy issues. And it did kind of impact, I think it impacted my choices as far as like dating and different things. So I'm just curious about how you and your husband met and what that was like, and how do you think that impacted your relationship and like developing relationships with men in general?
Man, I think, like I said, I was very kind of, I was already just kind of like not trusting of just boys and guys in general. Like, I just felt like, you know, you're so, y'all are immature. I just don't have time. Like, I would be getting all kind of, you know, I would see just behaviors and I'm just like, no, you're not dependable. You're not dependable. You're not, you know. But of course I had, you know, different, I think I started more dating when I got into college. Literally, I just did it for the fun of it. I was just having fun. Like, oh, you want to take me out? Okay, yeah. So, oh, you want to take me out to eat? Okay, yeah, let's go. But I really, like, didn't want to, like, commit my heart
to
any of them. Like, it was just, that's really just what it was. It was just, I was just having fun. I was just having a good time. I was just letting them wine and dine me. You know, even though they were all just have this, you know, trying to get me to commit. And I'm like, no, I've seen too much. I know a lot about you, your character. I just can't do it. Sorry.
That's
comes Mr. Michael Owens. We had actually met in Ohio, and we ended up in the same city in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He went to Rhema Bible Institute. I went to ORU.
Mm-hmm.
There was a friend of ours, even when I was in high school, that was trying to connect us. And I just didn't know. I had no idea, like, who this person is, you know, that she was talking about. I would just get messages from her, like, every month. Hey, my friend Mike said hi. And I was just like, Who is this Mike? You know, so then it ended up that we were both kind of, you know, he was in the church, I was in the church, and sometimes our churches would fellowship together. But I don't ever remember, like, being in his circle at any time. Like, I don't remember seeing him, but I would just hear about him. And this went on, like, throughout my high school career. Like, my high school, I was always hearing, oh, my friend Mike said hello. So we ended up, they even tried to put us on a blind date when I got into college, not knowing that, from what I hear, that he had a crush on me since I was 14.
Wow.
Because we were we were at sister churches together.
Then
he saw me in a Jesus parade that we did. 1 year. And I know for sure, like, I was 14 years old riding a bike on a Jesus parade. And he told one of his friends, my wife right there.
Wow.
Like, okay, this is very interesting. But I would just hear messages from him. Oh, hey, my friend Mike said hi, for like years. So then we ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma together. My friend calls me and says, hey, you remember that guy, Mike, I used to tell you about? And then his friend is calling him like, hey, you remember that girl, Shamika, that you like? Well, she lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he ended up getting my phone number. He showed up at church one time. And I was just like, okay, this is a lot. This is a bit. This is a bit much. But it was like he had liked me for all of these years, and I didn't even know, like, I didn't really know about him. I didn't know who he was. But every time he came to church, he had something in his hand he gave me, whether it was like a bear, or, you know, like a bag of just candy. He's just saying, here, I just wanted to give this to you. I was thinking about you today. And then that would be it. I remember one time he brought the poem to church. And I'm just like, okay, this is a lot. Like, it was kind of overwhelming me, really overwhelming me, that he just like had this extreme like, this extreme crush on me since we were in Ohio. Like,
yeah.
It was really blowing my mind. So I remember one Sunday, he came with a hot peach cobbler.
Yeah. Ooh.
Hot. Not not store bought, not frozen. Hot.
Freshly made hot peach cobbler. And I used to dancer. So in Oklahoma, I was attending Bishop Carlton Pearson's church at the time. Mm-hmm. I was a praise dancer. And so, you know, when you're done dancing, you're hungry. You're hungry, you're hot.
You're hungry.
And I remember it was like me and all of my dancer friends. He came up to us with this hot peach cobbler, y'all. I was like, first of all, how did you know that my favorite.
Wow.
Like, how did you discover that? And second of all, how is it that this peach cobbler is hot and you have plates in your hand?
He was ready.
This man, has been doing his research, okay?
OMG.
Doing his research. So after that, it was a wrap. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Amen.
Wow.
It was like, okay, yeah, we're together.
He got you with the cobbler.
Cobbler. Now that's terrible that he got me with food, but and it was good, and he made it.
Mm. Wow. He now that's it. Love.
Yes. Now love. I guess he when I afterwards I realized that he lived like 10 minutes away from the church.
Mm.
He could just, you know, he made it up and then brought it to church.
That's amazing.
And still to this day, he still will not tell me how he found out that cobbler was my favorite. It's still a mystery for me.
Still a mystery. I love it. Oh my gosh, I love it.
That's so beautiful. I love that.
Cobbler, I guess.
Oh gosh, that's beautiful.
Does he still make it?
He does. Every now and then he does. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that my husband is the cook in the house.
Like, yes.
To have my husband, he loves to cook. Like, that is his thing. Now, of course, when I was raising babies, I was the cook because I had to cook. I got, you know, three kids I got to feed, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, but it's never been my thing. You know, I'll cook when I get inspired. You know, I'll make a little chicken Alfredo or, you know, I'll bake some cookies or, you know, that's my thing. Or I love making salads. Like, salads is my thing. Call me if you need a salad. I got you. But he is the cook. He's got like, he has all these grills outside, but he makes full course meals like at least 3 to 4 times a week.
Wow. Sounds like we need to visit your house.
That's amazing.
I thought you gotta be specific with your prayers, ladies.
Yes. Be specific.
Because I told him when we got married, I said, now honey, I'm not gonna be one of those women that's gonna be in the kitchen. Because that's just not, that's not what I do. So, I mean, I can cook, but he can cook.
That's amazing. You hit the jackpot on that one.
I hit the jackpot.
That's beautiful, though. That's beautiful. Well, I guess, honestly, you helped us transition on into becoming. So let's talk about, like, how did y'all... your relationship, your marriage, it sounded like y'all were already serving, but like, as far as like becoming like pastor and first lady or co-pastoring, like how did that happen? Like, that's a huge calling.
And it is a huge calling. I think I want to say that we both have always had a heart for God, and we always had a heart for just, seeing people's lives changed and walking with people.
Amen.
Feed them.
Preach.
In a changed place, a changed space. But even our marriage has been challenged. Even in the very beginning of our marriage, it was very, very challenged. It was very rough. It was very rocky. It was terrible. Okay. It was terrible because he's like, you still have two people that are trying to come together as one person and really still trying to get to know each other. You know, once you move in with somebody, you really, your eyes are like, what in the world?
Facts.
I think God used those times between us, growing us up, you know, getting rid of some of the our immature, selfish ways. Really having us face our own selves. Like, I'm looking at me, Shamika, like, who you are and who you want to be 10 years down the road.
Amen.
And then allowing, you know, the things, the mistakes, the challenges of marriage, the, you know, disappointments of marriage to really just turn your whole face towards God. And I always tell people, like, you know, even in a marriage, you have to be so dependent on who God is in your life. You can't just be, you know, hoping and a wishing and a praying that this person is going to make you whole, or this person is going to, you know, fill your whole life, or this person is going to make do on all the promises that they made when y'all were dating. You know, you still have to have your own, your soul has to be saved. Your soul rooted and grounded in who God is. And just because you get married, your life is not going to just be peachy cream, you know? Like, you have, and then it really does. It really shows you who you are. It shows you the ugly parts. It shows you the good parts. It shows you those parts like, oh, me? That's me? Oh, my God. You know, that you don't want to see.
Yes.
But I feel like God used those parts and those places to really just bring us into a space of maturity and a space of even authenticity with other people, so we can be like, you know what? We got through that. This is how we got through that. And God can continue helping you with that. And he's not going to throw you away for that.
Amen.
So, and I think because, you know, the number one thing I feel like is both of, it's like our hearts were so in tune to God, just kind of like continuing to prune, continue to mold us, can grow us, continue to prune in us, continue to mold us and grow us up, that, you know, we were able to now say, okay, let's go after these people who God keeps bringing in our space and really like walk with them through life.
Yeah.
And I think that's just how it literally, not even, you know, trying to use a pun, but it just started evolving from there. And God gave us these beautiful group of millennials who, again, we were just like, you know, we cannot just let their last experience of church, that they've been hurt by church, or they don't feel accepted by church, or they don't see the point of church, that they just decide to figure out another way or another source, or they start, you know, using avenues of trying to connect with God instead of, I'm a call on God and I'm a believe in him, and trust him, and I'm a walk with him, you know? And that, I think that is just how, you know, our lives just have started, you know, even with pastoring. Just pulling, literally, we pull people in. And I know that has to be a calling, because it does get exhausting. It does sometimes get disappointing, because people are people, human beings, you know? But I think the reward is that, okay, I'm showing you this God that I know. And I'm demonstrating to you the relationship that I have with him, and letting you know that he's not mad at you. You know, he does love you. He has forgiven you. He does have a plan for your life. He's not far away, that he can't hear you crying in the middle of the night, see the struggles that you have on a day. He's right there. in every situation, in every circumstance, he's right there with you. And all he wants you to do is just lean back into him, so that he can show you his better way. So that he can show you how his love can completely change and rearrange your life.
Yeah. Ooh, that's beautiful. That is so rich. There are so many amazing things that you share, because I mean, you talk about millennials, you talk about the next generation and how like they are in a lot of ways falling away from the church. They're leaving the church. And so for your ministry to be specifically called to pulling them in and walking through life with them, like that's huge. Yes. That's huge. It's rare to find people that are dedicated to walking through life with people. Cause like you said, it's challenging, it's draining. It can be overwhelming. It can be disappointing, but it's what is necessary. Like that is the essence of discipleship. So to hear you say that is beautiful. I wanted to ask you, cause I know COVID in and of itself, I feel like was a very trying time for the church, but specifically for the next generation. And so you're already at that age, you know, especially I would say college young adults, where you're like, I'm out of the house. I can make my own decisions. Am I going to serve God for myself? Or is this just my mama, my grandmama's God? You know, so you're already at that place. But in the age of COVID, you know, everybody was for the most part online or isolated. So you're dealing with, you know, virtual church, which or virtual community, which in some cases wasn't community. You're dealing with mental health issues because people, you know, in a lot of cases were isolated. So they were dealing with depression and you know, all kinds of stuff. So I guess I want to know, like, what are some things that you all were intentional about doing? And it could be before COVID even, but as far as like really going after this next generation, especially with all those factors when they came into play during COVID.
Yeah. And we definitely were affected by that in a major way. They shut the doors, our building. And so, you know, we had to think outside the box. You know, we had to make sure that we were not going to just stop giving our members or giving people a place where they can, you know, be encouraged and hear the word. Because like you said, yes, it was a very, very, very isolating time. Very, very depressing time.
Yeah.
You know, people were just, it was like you were kind of just by yourself. And so there was a period of time where we just had to, you know, just kind of re-collaborate with our team. But we ended up, I can remember, we ended up bringing the service to our home.
Oh, wow.
And we had cameras. We had our praise team come. We had service in our house and streamed it each week. And then there were weeks where we would have service in the park. And, you know, just make sure, you know, everybody's 6 feet apart from each other. But like we didn't want COVID to be the excuse or the reason why we just, you know, stop ministering to people or stop giving people a place where they can, you know, receive that encouragement or still have community.
Yeah.
We did food drives. You know, we provided resources. You know, we were very, very intentional about just making sure that our church body knew that, okay, even though we're going through this, you still have a community of people who are to support you and you know, hold you up and give you encouraging words and pray for you and you know, whatever it is that you're needed, that you need. We did. We had church in our house, literally.
Wow.
Had church in our home. And, you know, of course, and our team, our praise team, our band, whenever we were able to get, a pianist in the house, our kids, like everybody was a part of the mission.
It's amazing. That is amazing.
It was a beautiful time.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I want to ask, I know you talked about a couple of different things, but number one, just the challenges of marriage, the challenges of ministry, and then just the challenges of walking through life with people. So honestly, I mean, if you have any words of wisdom that you want to share in like any of those areas, if it's marriage, if it's ministry, if it's millennials or mentoring, I'll stick with the M's, like.
Man, if I can just encourage women right now, I would just say, you know, find your place in God. You know, steady your walk with Him. Because there's nothing else that's going to define you. Motherhood is not going to define you. Being a wife is not going to define you. Being in ministry is not going to define you. What's going to define you and what you can always count on is what God has to say about you. Those things may change, and they are changing. Even they are changing for me. I can remember when I was a mother of three young kids. Now all my kids are like in high school, and I find myself like crying daily, you know, because I have a senior and not a baby anymore. But I can remember those times where I had the opportunity to just throw myself into them. But it's like, okay, I can't throw myself into my kids because they're going to grow up and they're going to leave the nest and they're going to do their own thing. And pretty soon they're not going to even think about mom. So who is mom without kids? You know, or who is mom, you know, who is the wife without the husband? You know, just knowing that, again, just because I'm aspiring to be a wife, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm aspiring to be married. Know who you are without the man, without the house. Know what you bring into the relationship. Know your identity as a woman aside from just what the man is doing or what he's not doing. Because it's going to be a lot of days and a lot of times where you're disappointed and you're going to be like, okay, I'm calling it quits. Well, no, as a woman of God, are you going to trust God in your marriage relationship? Are you going to trust Him to grow you up and grow your mate up? Are you going to trust give you, as He's giving you the opportunity of patience, of growing patience in you? Are you going to trust Him so that He can make this thing beautiful and so that He can bring it into full purpose as to why He even brought you and your spouse together? But that comes from a place of just, you know, having that relationship with God, hearing from Him, building your life on Him. Not on your role or the many, many hats that we wear, you know, as women, but completely, you know, throwing yourself into His assignment on your life. Knowing that being a mom is an assignment. And then there's this time and a season for it. You know, being a wife is an assignment, but also the gift that you have as a woman, there's an assignment for that. And there's an assignment that you have to other women and to other families and to other, you know, that's the call. That is the space that he wants you to be in. So you're not, you know, so like unsure of who you are, that you don't be everything that he's called you to be. You know, you can be a wife, a mother, a business owner, a minister, a realtor. You have the capacity to be everything that God is calling you to be, you know, but it's so important that we build our lives in him.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to do it. You know, wow. Not timid about it, you know, not be, you know, just kind of wishy-washy, but that we do it. I did have a scripture that I wanted to share. This one here in Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him.
Amen.
Rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Like, as I am learning now, like, I have to make my roots go down deep with God so that nothing can shake. I'm unshakable. I'm unshakable in my confidence in who he's made me to be. I'm unshakable in the giftings and the calling that he has on my life. Mm. I'm unshakable. Like I can't be moved, you know, by everything that is trying to move me. Society, family, my roles at work, you know, just different things that may come and go. My relationship with him is unshakable. And that's what I want to encourage you as a woman, you know, not you as the mother or the wife, but as a woman.
Amen.
Your life in Christ. Build it.
That is so good.
So much really. Wisdom.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, ladies, for having me on here today.
Absolutely.
Great time with you guys. And I'm so encouraged just to see what you guys are doing. It really encourages me.
Oh, praise God. I love it. Toya, you have anything else before we get into noble character?
No, I'm just processing everything that she just said, because it was full of wisdom, great, great wisdom. I'm definitely going to have to go back and rewatch it to really get it in me. I can relate to all of that. And I think women definitely, especially depending on like what season you're in, and sometimes you may be single and you're looking at other people and like desiring maybe to be married or desiring to have children,
right.
Like you said, it's nothing wrong with that, but it's an assignment, and your focus should be on who you are, your identity in Christ, and really focusing on that, because like you said, it is just for a season. At the end of the day, what's going to matter is who you are in Christ.
Absolutely.
Your children are going to leave. Your spouse is going to leave. So much wisdom. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Amen. Amen. Water those roots so they go deep.
So our next segment is called Noble Character. And Shamika, we wanted you to have an opportunity to recognize a woman that maybe has inspired you in your childhood or in your journey, or someone who's currently inspiring you, doing something amazing in the community. So we wanted you to shout out a woman of noble character that you would like to recognize.
Okay, and I'm sorry, I didn't get to pinpoint one person, but I just wanted to take time to acknowledge all women in ministry, all women who are first ladies or women pastors, to say that, you know, you are seen. You are seen. You are seen. You are seen. You are loved. You are honored. God has not forgotten about you. He has exponential plans for your life. Your voice is powerful. Your voice does matter. And to keep on growing your roots down deep with your Father God, and keep on making him the focus, the focal of who you are.
Yeah, that is so good. And that is, I'm so glad that you chose that group to shout out, because I mean, as we talked about, ministry is no joke. And in a lot of cases, it can almost feel like thankless. And even thinking specifically about women in ministry, oftentimes we kind of keep our head down and just get it done, you know, or we're busy supporting the man of God or what have you. And so to know that they are seen, to know that, you know, God sees them, that they are honored, and that, you know, to take time to make sure that they're rooted, you know, and you're in that number as well. I want to acknowledge you also as a woman of noble character, just because of the insight that you have shared over the course of this episode. I mean, it's just evident that you are unwavering in your faith and that you have been steadfast in it for decades. And so to witness just a glimpse of that fruit is beautiful. So we want to acknowledge you as well as a woman of noble character.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You said decades, Maya.
I mean, y'all been married for what, 20 something years? So that's two right there.
And then at 6 years old.
Right. Yes. I'm just saying. But you know, you fly. You still fabulous, but
I receive it. Thank you.
I love it. So we'll go ahead and close out. But yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Absolutely. Well, BE family, if y'all haven't already, get your merch. We're both repping our shirts, so get some merch and go online, check us out, subscribe if you haven't subscribed, like us, share, all that good stuff, follow us, tell your friends, your family, your mom and them, all the good people about not just this platform, but this episode in particular and this ministry. Do you want to shout out your ministry, Pastor Shamika?
Oh, yes, I would love to. Evolve Life Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to all of our pastors and leaders and members and the ladies of Evolve Love. I love you so much. Thankful for you. And then to our organization, Blossom University. We didn't really get to touch on that today, but I'm excited because what I saw was you guys have the butterfly as your image there for, I mean, even, and I absolutely love that. And we use the flower for block. Feel like, you know, moms are very influential in their daughters' lives. And they are the ones who are supposed to plant those seeds so that they grow into beautiful, beautiful, beautiful flowers. And so I'm excited that, you know, we are like-minded in that and becoming Eva and Blossom University. So very exciting.
I love that. That's awesome. That is awesome. All right. Well, BE community, another one for the books, and we will continue the journey of becoming. So we hope to see y'all next week. So see you soon.
See you soon.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.